Can you hear me back in the coffee shop? All right. How about y'all in the back row? Can you hear me now? Hey, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start off with a little video, and it's kind of cool. Watch it, listen, and then we're going to talk some.
A few years ago, I felt like I was stuck in a rut. So I decided to follow in the footsteps of the great American philosopher, Morgan Spurlock, and try something new for 30 days. The idea is actually pretty simple. Think about something you've always wanted to add to your life and try it for the next 30 days. It turns out 30 days is just about the right amount of time to add a new habit or subtract a habit, like watching the news, from your life. There's a few things that I learned while doing these 30-day challenges. The first was, instead of the months flying by forgotten, the time was much more memorable. This was part of a challenge I did to take a picture every day for a month, and I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing that day. I also noticed that as I started to do more and harder 30-day challenges, my self-confidence grew. I went from desk-dwelling computer nerd to the kind of guy who bikes to work for fun. Even last year, I ended up hiking up Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest mountain in Africa. I would never have been that adventurous before I started my 30-day challenges. I also figured out that if you really want something badly enough, you can do anything for 30 days. Have you ever wanted to write a novel? Every November, tens of thousands of people try to write their own 50,000-word novel from scratch in 30 days. It turns out, all you have to do is write 1,667 words a day for a month. So I did. By the way, the secret is not to go to sleep until you've written your words for the day. You might be sleep-deprived, but you'll finish your novel. Now, is my book the next great American novel? No! I wrote it in a month! It's awful! But for the rest of my life, if I meet John Hodgman at a TED party, I don't have to say, I'm a computer scientist. No, no. If I want to, I can say, I'm a novelist. So here's one last thing I'd like to mention. I learned that when I made small, sustainable changes, things I could keep doing, they were more likely to stick. There's nothing wrong with big, crazy challenges. In fact, they're a ton of fun. But they're less likely to stick. When I gave up sugar for 30 days, day 31 looked like this. So here's my question to you. What are you waiting for? I guarantee you the next 30 days are going to pass whether you like it or not. So why not think about something you have always wanted to try and give it a shot for the next 30 days? Thanks.
That was a TED Talk. How many of you do the TED Talk kind of thing? Yeah, it's pretty good. Try something new for 30 days because guess what? The 30 days are going to come whether you try something new or not, right? Okay. What I wanted to do today, we started talking about how to be more deliberate about Easter. Ryan's still giving me that look eye. We okay? We wanted to find out how to be a little bit more deliberate about our Easter services this year. And you guys know, around Christmas, we always teach about, you know, don't get caught up in it all and don't lose focus. It's the birth of Jesus. Don't get so caught up in that you miss out. And then, sure as the world, all of us kind of get brought right into the Christmas thing. And with our best of intentions, even those of us who stand up here and teach, we get lured back into overdoing the shopping list, all that comes with Christmas. But here comes Easter, and it's our most Christian-y holiday of all, right? Isn't it Christian-y? You know, you might buy hide some eggs, you might buy some peeps, How many of you buy peeps this time of year? You might do that. You might eat some ham, but it doesn't carry as much baggage as Christmas. Is that fair to say? Do you think? So, after all, Jesus had to be resurrected from the dead for his birth to really matter, correct? I mean, that was the thing. That was the deal. That sealed the deal, him having power over death. Now, some might say it's a chicken versus egg kind of thing, but Easter comes to us, a very important Christian holiday, and it's less demanding of us. Easter is less demanding of our resources. Yeah, we might throw stuff in a basket for the kids. We might get something for a special loved one, but y'all don't like get something for everybody in the family, do you? Or you don't like put names in a hat and draw them out and buy presents. So Easter comes to us less demanding and a little less demanding of our resources. But I want you to know something. Easter comes demanding each and every one of us. The Bible tells us that Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself know, him being delivered up by predetermined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified him, put him to death, whom God has raised up. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So Easter comes to us, and we've got to really wrestle with that. I tried to say it like you all say it. Wrestle? Wrestle. We've got to really wrestle with that. That Christ died on that cross. That he was delivered up by lawless hands. He was crucified. And then Jesus was made by God, both Lord and Christ. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do at TLR with that? What are we going to do with individuals with that thought? So for me, I thought to be more deliberate about Easter, we ought to embrace more of it. It shouldn't be like a one Sunday thing. We should embrace all of Easter and devote more time to it. Not one or two Sundays, but 40 plus days. Because nothing will ever happen in history that will affect your life more than what happened when Christ was crucified and resurrected 3 days later. Now, you may be sitting here saying, well, it hasn't affected my life. Oh, it's going to affect your life. If it hasn't already, it will. So, keeping with our theme of embracing more of Lent, we encouraged Lent observance, and we also decided on some additional Easter services. Not long after this was posted, someone suggested that we refer to Easter as Resurrection Day. And that may not seem like much to you, but again, it follows that thinking of being more deliberate, drilling down a little bit. What is it about this that's special? Well, what's special about it is Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So I think it's great from now on. You know, I will use the word Easter, but it will be a mistake because it is Resurrection Day. You know, y'all got beautiful kids running around here. I got a beautiful granddaughter. You know, Easter Bunny's cool. Let's let them have that. You know, let's let them have the peeps and the chocolate and the Easter Bunny. It's Resurrection Day for us. Another suggestion was made. How about somebody explaining what some of these additional services that we're going to have, what they're all about, because some people wasn't quite sure when we posted it. So that's what I'm here today to do. It's going to be a little bit more informational, and I hope it gives you a feel about what we're going to try to do as we move toward resurrection, this resurrection season. Let's just start off with the really basic thing. Resurrection season 2012 began unofficially on February 21st with ...21st was a Tuesday. There's your hint. Here's your second hint. Fat Tuesday. So what is Fat Tuesday? What is Fat Tuesday? Yeah. No, not at all. it derives from that idea that around Passover time, around different Jewish feasts, they didn't just throw out stuff that they couldn't eat. Does that make sense to you? For them, that would have been as much of a sin as breaking the fast. So what would they do the Tuesday before? The night before a feast, a fast, is they would have a feast, and they would eat up all the stuff in their house. Not quite what we think of as Fat Tuesday or Mardi Gras, but do you understand the difference? That's what they would do. The stuff that I'm not going to be able to eat tomorrow, I'm going to eat tonight. So it began with Fat Tuesday. Not so much to get more stuff, but to get rid of the stuff in your house. We humans kind of added that whole splurge aspect to the event. And while I'm on the subject, we also kind of added that whole breaking the mini fast on Sundays thing. We kind of added that too. So when we talk about, you hear people say, well, there's 46 days and 6 days, and on Sundays you don't have to fast, and on Sundays you can pretty much have another Fat Tuesday. Well, that's fat fine by me, but it wasn't by the early church leaders. Those many breaks, Jen, you know what they were to break you from? A complete fast. The Council of Nicaea said, Nicaea said, you could use that to not have to kneel. They said that also you could use that mini day, that mini Sunday, that mini Easter, that mini Resurrection Day, these Sundays in Lent, to put away and forbid any other acts of sorrow and penance. Not exactly party time, is it? So, after Fat Tuesday, we have the more official launch with Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent, and it occurs traditionally 46 days before Easter. It's a movable feast, falling on a different date of the year, because obviously Easter can fall on a different date. And it's based on this whole idea, the 40 days of Lent is based on this idea of Jesus spent how many days in the desert? 40 days fasting. Spent 40 days fasting before beginning his public ministry. So Ash Wednesday marks this beginning of a 40-day period of prayer and fasting. Ash Wednesday derives its name from the practice of placing ashes on their head. I even noticed, I was watching Sports Center, and one of the guys had his ash on his forehead. Did you guys notice people that had that? And Ash Wednesday, that's where we kind of get this idea. The ashes are generally the ones they use the previous Easter or resurrection season for Palm Sunday or burnt, and that's where the ashes come from. You know, it's a sign of mourning and repentance to God. It's based on two simple verses. Remember, thou art dust, and to dust thou shalt return. Not necessarily an uplifting Bible verse, but one that has a lot of truth to it. From dust you came, and from dust you shall return. It also talks in Mark, turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. A lot of Christendom is celebrating Ash Wednesday nowadays, and also doing Lent from, obviously, Catholics, Anglicans, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians, and even some Baptists are doing it. So that proves it's got to be something to it. Had a couple of Baptists in the room. Thank you for that. Okay, so I also want to mention before we move on that this time of Lent, this 40 days, was always, not only was it movable, but it kind of fluctuated. It was more metaphorical than it was actually literal. There's been times that it was down in the low 30s, and there's been times it was in the 40s because they took days in and out of it. Does that make sense to you? I only mention that not to bog you down, because I want you to know this. The only reason I mention it, if you have not already, I would like for you to consider doing something, giving up something for Lent. So I only say that because we're not in it as a time. This is, for us, a more of a time of sacrifice than some sort of law that we adhere to. You understand what I'm saying? I really want you to consider, if you haven't already, giving something up for Lent. And if you start, say, tomorrow, that would be 34 days. If you started Thursday or Friday, it would be 30 days. And guess what? Those 30 days are going to come and go whether you do anything or not. whether you attempt to change your life or not. I want to just echo what Jen said last week about Lent before we move on to the other holidays. Jen did a great job of giving us the reasons behind Lent. She did a great job giving us the biblical support. So I want to echo the importance of it. And for me, I want to explain to you why Lent has been important to me and continues to be important to me. And the first one I can't really explain, and I hesitate to even try, but you've been noticing this up here? I can't explain this, but having Jesus as an accountability partner works for me. I can't even explain why. I don't think that Jesus is necessarily going to stomp me if I go off of my Lent thing. But man, I tell you what, it gives me strength to do it. I'm giving up things for Lent and doing things for Lent that I'd have never dreamed I could do. And I think it's because of having Jesus as an accountability partner. When Brandon and I used to fast together, Brandon, you listening? Can I keep going or do you want me to stop? Pardon? All right. When Brandon and I used to fast together, that one didn't have as much pull over what I did as that one has had for some reason. And I can't explain it. I don't think that Jesus is going to come and grab me up and twist my head off. But there's just something about having Jesus as accountability. I'm more mindful of the Lord. I'm less tempted and stronger. It's like I've got a higher purpose. I don't know if Jesus is watching me more or less, or I don't know. But it's working to have Jesus as an accountability partner. I think about all the scriptures that come to mind, and I jotted these down because I was thinking about all the scriptures that talk about self-control. And it comes to me that I remembered, and I looked this one up from Peter. Peter wrote, "For this very reason, make every effort." Make every effort. Make every effort. Judy, that's you. That's not him. That's you. He doesn't have to make every effort. You have to make every effort. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. James calls the perfect man what? One who can keep his body in check. And Paul calls self-control a fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus says what? Deny yourself. Isn't that what Lent is all about? Deny yourself. Y'all looking kind of solemn. Y'all think I can't do this. I want you to know you can do this. You've got this. You can do it. Here's a few lies we believe. These are the few lies we believe. When we think about giving up stuff, some of you are sitting there thinking, man, if I could give up such and such, I'd already gave it up. I can't give it up. You know why I know I can't give it up? Because I tried it once, and since I failed before, I'll always fail. Somebody say amen. That some of y'all say that. You know what? You know who I'd like to strangle? Smokers who say, I quit cold turkey. They didn't. How many of you ever quit smoking? There's somebody in the back row. I don't even know the guy, but he's saying he can quit cold turkey. I'd like to twist his head off. Because you don't. You quit like 75 times. And then on the 76th time, you finally quit. And you know what you tell her? I quit cold turkey. Right? I quit cold turkey. So some of you are saying, since I failed before, I always fail. I'm telling you, that's a lie. All right, let's just get down home with it. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Just because you failed does not mean you'll always fail. It means the next time you're going to succeed. And I'm here to tell you, I'm looking at all you people, and I know you're succeeding kind of people. That's a lie. You're not always going to fail. Another one we believe, another lie that we believe is this one. I'm only hurting myself. You know, it's a heavy burden being my age and trying to compact what I know into some of y'all's young heads. But I've counseled so many people's family that were just torn apart. And if you ask them, well, could you maybe not do that? I'm only hurting myself. Some of y'all used to know I used to ride motorcycles a lot. Tore the roads up between here and Brown County. Took at least one larger ride. And I just really liked the whole thing. But, you know, a guy like me, I don't have a lot going for me. And the fact that I still have hair, I didn't like wearing a helmet. Because I get to where I was going and I have helmet hair. And I would ride my motorcycle. And I wouldn't ride it. I wouldn't wear a helmet. I remember Julie's sister, Diane. I'll never forget this. Julie, I don't even know if you know this, but we were someplace, and some guys rode by on their bikes, right? And just instinctively, I gave them the old biker's wave when you go down low like you. I still do that. It's not nearly as cool when I'm in the minivan. And I mentioned something about the helmet, and I'll never forget. Diane said, you know what? Maybe they don't have as much to lose as you do. Get what I'm saying? Maybe they don't have as much to lose. I'm only hurting myself. That's a lie, too. We don't sin in a vacuum. We don't do unhealthy things in a vacuum. We don't mess up in a vacuum. You're not just hurting yourself. Here's another lie we tell ourselves. I have a real problem with blank control. What is it that you have a control problem with? If you're like me, you're going to have to use commas. Maybe you just have one issue that you can set right there. Mentally, put in that blank what you're having problems with. With what you're... Don't tell us. My goodness. You don't even want to know what it sounded like you said over here. Okay. Mentally, Judy, I have a real problem with. And you can't see this, but I put little bitty things here. So has everybody got that little thing filled in there? Mentally, you've filled it in with, I have a problem with portion control. I have a problem with this, drinking, whatever your thing is, you got that? Can you mentally see it in that box? Now what I want you to do is just mentally cover that up, because your real problem is you have a problem with... You have a problem with... This is really uncomfortable on my back. Would you guys... You have a problem with control. Now, you know, it's ridiculous that it falls to me to learn y'all some English stuff. But these words are just describing this. And this is your problem. And if you have one of these, you have 10 of these. Right? Because that's your problem. Anybody you see and you say, oh my goodness, they have a problem with blank control. Well, you can say they have a problem with blank, 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 blank control. Because the issue is not the descriptives, it's not the symptoms, but the problem you have is with control. Let that sink in for a minute, because that is a huge lie that we believe. If I just take this one care of one aspect of my life, everything's going to be perfect. No, it's not. There's three or four other areas of your life you're completely out of control in. No, I'm really sure. You're just as sure as the guy that said he gave up, that he quit smoking cold turkey after his 69th attempt. You really think there's one, but I guarantee you, it wouldn't take me long sitting down with you till I find out blank, 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 and blank. Your problem is with control. It always has been, always will be, and it started back in the Old Testament. Proverbs 25:58 says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Whatever you think your problem is, there's more there. Because whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down. What happens? Think about those beautiful pictures. This would have been a great place for one of those. Beautiful pictures of those walls that they built around those castles and fortresses and stuff back in the day. What would happen when the walls came down? It would be overran. If you have a problem with this, you will be eventually overran. Whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. When I think about all the things that I've had control issues with, I want you to know this. When I'm standing up here and I turn to the side like this, if you see more of a bulge here, you know that I'm out of control in other areas of my life. Can I make it any plainer for you than that? Whoever has no rule over spirits like a city broken down with walls. I tell you what, man, I get going on Lent, and I tell you what, I can just feel the walls going up again. I feel myself getting stronger. I feel myself becoming, having more faith. I feel myself doing things that I never dreamed I would do. I want to beg you today. Paul said, I beseech you, brothers and sisters. And I don't know what Greek word beseech is. It's not a word we use in Nineveh regularly. But I want to beg you guys to rebuild the walls. Embrace Lent. You've got this. You can do it. Jesus is a great accountability partner. And humor me for a minute. Humor Jen, she started this last week. Humor Jesus. Maybe you're ready to do this, but you just don't know what to give up. If you're married and you're here today, you don't know what to give up. Ask your wife. She'll have a list for you. Wives, ask your husband. If they're not very smart, they'll have a list for you, too. But if you have no one, let me offer a few of these. These come from John Swanson's blog, 300 Words. It's a good blog. If I won't read all of them, but here's just a couple. Here's things to give up for Lent. First place in line. Okay. The last piece of pie. The last word. Give up a fifth of something. A quarter pounder of anything. Give up 40 cents a day because I'm told that it adds up to $12 a month. And over a year, with 100 other people, it would give a village in Africa water. 40 cents a day. Give up a second helping. Give up Dave's top 10 list or whatever kept you from turning off the TV and going to bed last night. Here's one. Give up the final four that it consumes your attention for a month. I tell you what, I said a lot of stuff. I just heard groans from that one. Oh, yeah, this is the year you're going to win. I didn't look up. Probably the same guy that just quit smoking cold turkey. How about this one? Give up an argument. Give up your fourth pair of shoes. Give up a second glance. How about give up the first 15 parking places closest to the door? How about giving up a five-minute well-justified rant about the way the person cut you off in traffic? How about these? These are from the CatholicChurch.org site. Betty Hullibert from Maumee, Ohio writes, beer. Literally, she wrote into the website just to say, beer. I like that, just the simplicity of it. Let's not over-explain things. I love Betty. I don't even know Betty Hullibert, but I can just almost picture Betty. And I'm almost picturing Betty probably hasn't quit smoking yet. I just have that picture. From Donovan from Cape Town, he says, I'm giving up alcohol and I will donate the money I would have spent to church. Maureen from Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania says, I'm giving up chocolate and soda. And during this time, I'm going to count my blessings every day to try to make the day a little special for someone. And that's one area of Lent that I didn't embrace. It didn't really occur to me until I read this. Not only should we be giving up things, we should be doing things as well. There's a humor website that I really enjoy because it's... it's a rare that you find one of these, but it's a Christian with a sense of humor. And he had they had a couple suggestions of things you could give up for Lent. The first one's band, because it was about music. And I just know that you just can't joke about people's music anymore. People are so, you know, protective of, I listen to this band, and you got to listen to this band. It's the best band ever. Just recently, I realized how much trouble this could get you into. That's why it was banned. I said, we were discussing the Bob Dylan covers, Chimes of Freedom. I said, you know what really amazed me about disc two? And the guy said, don't say it. I said, what I thought was really cool about disc two? And he said, don't say it. I said, well, obviously, if you know what I'm going to say, you thought it was pretty neat too. And that was the fact that Miley Cyrus covered You're Gonna Leave Me Lonesome just marvelously. So we're just really protective about our music, right? So I'll just skip on this one, other than to say, if you want to know the website, I'll give it to you later, and it's really a fun one. Here's one to give up. Give up this 2012 is going to be the end of time thing. And they gave a very succinct answer as to why you ought to just give up the whole 2012 thing. And I'm going to read it because I don't want to mess it up. The world will come to an end someday, but do not bet your future on a John Cusack movie. Maybe Daniel Day-Lewis or Morgan Freeman, but not John Cusack. Let's see what we got next. Oh. For Lent, let's give up blank anything. Planking, T-bowing, braiding. Only I know some of y'all could probably look at this picture all day long and not get tired of it. When will the madness stop? Give up paying an exact change for Lent. I don't know why I do this one. I know people are lined up behind me, and it's like I'm almost there. 27, 28, 29, and then I'm like waiting on a trophy that never comes. Does anybody else do that besides me? Yes! Have you ever got anything out of it? The people behind you are cussing, and you don't get a thing. Oh. Self-editing. I only included this one because some of you think I never self-edit. I do. This one I gave up for my own personal safety. For Lent, I gave up showing you this one because it was about Pinterest. Y'all know what that is? Yeah, so for my own personal safety, you know, my wife made it to however old she is now, 30. You couldn't get her on a computer till this Pinterest thing came out. Anybody Pinterest in here? Yeah, so I won't tell you what they said about that. I had to give this one up because it's too political and we've lost our sense of humor. Let me give you some advice about politics. Brandon thinks, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. Stay out of it. Not Brandon, but stay out of it. And if you're backing somebody that a good joke over really sets you off in the wrong way, you might ought to reconsider that, because between everybody we've got that is president, wants to be president, has desires to be president, man, they say some awful funny stuff, and you're missing out on a great laugh. You really are. I mean, I could stand up here and do political joke after political joke. I could do five jokes about our president, and people would walk away saying, you can tell he's a Democrat, or you can tell he's a Republican. So I got to stay away from this one. But man, there's a lot of funny stuff going on in our world today. And this will bring me to our next slide. I included this one because we have lost our sense of humor, which brings us to our last one. Oh, look at this guy. Does anybody know him? Yeah, this was on the list too of things you ought to give up for Lent. And I was supposed to tell you guys, if you don't know who this is, then give up John Piper. It'll work just as well. seriously on this one. There's a Mark Appling reference here, and he's written a thing about celebrity, Christian celebrity. And if you haven't read it, you'd be remiss. Christian sobriety, and I'm not talking about drinking. I think we need to have a sense of humor about things. I think it's really ridiculous that I had to skip four slides just because we don't have a sense of humor about things. I really do. I think that's something we need to look at. The Bible tells us over and over that laughter is such a great medicine. Y'all don't know what you look like when I'm up here talking about giving stuff up for Lent. You looked like you were ready to come up here and grab me and tear me limb from limb. But then we start talking about some fun stuff, and man, y'all are smiling and looking good. You're engaged. We really, 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 really need to learn how to laugh at ourselves. There was an article written, and the guy was talking about this bantering that you have within churches. You know, you have somebody say something. You kind of banter back and forth. I walked in today, and Chase Abram called me Mr. Mustache. You have this friendly bantering around, you know what I mean? And what's good about that, it's kind of like a family. And when we do that, we're like holding mirrors up to each other. You know what I'm saying? It's a good thing. It's a fun thing. It helps us as we deal with the rest of the world to have somebody at home that can keep you in track. You know, I've told Quinn, I said, you know, when I do something like when I'm teaching and it misses, and I mention it to Grace, she doesn't have to say a word. She can literally take her eyes and roll them so far back of her head that it's like, you know, oh, what did I say this time? We need to learn to laugh at ourselves and be that kind of mirror for each other so that when we get out into the world, we do like a family does. We hold a mirror up to each other, and I could not agree more. So this Lenten season, let's learn how to laugh again. With all of our sins and our foibles and our blunders and our mistakes and everything we do, we can either laugh about it or we can cry about it. And I wouldn't mind if you guys were just hardcore criers. But if you're not going to cry about it, let's laugh about it and move on. Start the day afresh tomorrow. Amen? Church is coming together. I know that Herb prayed for it. It's ironic. But there's a lot of churches helping out down there in Henryville from Louisville. If you don't get down there and say, hey, guys, you would not believe this. We're going to have a Good Friday service and we're all going to get together. How many of you think would have done that? Not a single one. God help us to learn to get together and laugh with each other. Laugh at our differences. Be open to one another without it taking a tornado coming to town. Amen. Shame on me. Shame on Brandon. Shame on Quinn. Shame on Jen. Shame on anybody who's ever been up here that's added to that, added to that, added to that, added to that. We need to come together with people. We need to learn to laugh again. And finally, this is the last one. For Lent, how about giving up me? Because you cannot spell awesome without me. And what I mean by that is this. You could give up chocolate or caffeine or red meat. You could give up all those things. And just like the guy that gave up sweets on the 30 day. Remember what happened on the 31st day? The big old pile of candy. So you could give up all that stuff. But what if you did something truly radical this year? What if for the next 34 days, you gave up yourself for Lent? What if for the next 40 days, you put the needs of others in front of your own needs? What if instead of looking out for number one for Lent, for the next 34 days, you decided, I'm going to put somebody else in front. I'm going to give somebody else the number one position. What if you started out looking out for friends or families or neighbors? What would happen if you started looking out for perfect strangers that you come across your way? How about if for the next 34, 30 days, you woke up every morning and the first thought that went through your head was, how can I serve people I encounter today? What would happen? I included this one because I'm convinced that if you could find the courage to give up yourself for Lenten season, by the time Easter rolls around, I think you'd find out there's another resurrection to celebrate. And that's your resurrection, having died to an old way of life and started a new one. And friends, that's what Lent is all about, starting a good, sustainable habit that changes your life. If you did that, if you gave up me for Lent, you would be like Paul and you'd say, I no longer live, but only Christ lives within me. Observing Lent is one way that we can make our Easter season or resurrection season more meaningful. I want to mention in closing the final, just a couple more things. First of all, we're going to have a Palm Sunday service. That'll be April 21st. Palm Sunday is the Sunday before Easter and the start of Holy Week, celebrated by Christians as the day when Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. The crowds were reported to have waved palm branches. So if you come in here for Palm Sunday, April 1st, you're probably going to see people waving branches. And you're probably going to hear Hosanna-type music. That's April 1st, our Sunday service. That Thursday is Maundy Thursday, or Holy Thursday, April 5th, 2012. So the Thursday before Easter, we'll be having a Maundy Thursday service. Someone besides myself is in charge of this, but I'm sure you'll see at the very least, you'll see this idea of communing. It was where we kind of remember that the Last Supper, the Passover meal. Maundy Thursday was traditionally the day that Jesus was given up in the Garden of Eden by Judas. It's also the night that we kind of think about, they were all there sitting, and by the way, they didn't sit at one long table like this. Did you know that? They probably didn't sit like this. But I think it was nice that they left a chair for the guy painting them. But anyway, at this meal, I don't know if you remember, but according to tradition as well, they were all discussing who was the best among them, which we kind of do when we're at churches. I mean, we don't come right out and say, I'm better than Patrick. But down deep when we find out Patrick's failed, we're like, yeah! So they're discussing who's better. And what does Jesus come in the place and do? What did Jesus come into the place and do? Jesus came into the place and began to wash their feet. It's a tad uncomfortable to have your feet washed. It's a bigger uncomfortable to have Jesus wash your feet after you just said, oh yeah, Patrick, I'm better than you. And then Patrick's like, but Jesus washed my feet first. It never ends. Isn't it good to have a Savior? It never ends. Isn't it good to have a Savior? Isn't it good to have a Savior? Isn't it good to have a Savior? Absolutely it is. It never ends. It's good to have a Savior. Okay, so then we're going to have Maundy Thursday. Then the very next night, oh my gosh, we're going to church two nights in a row. Yes. 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 And if you're not here, you've got to send me like a, you've got to have your mom write you a note. Come on. You guys know how this works. So then we have Thursday, then we have Good Friday. And we'll have a Good Friday service here as well. We've decided that the Thursday night service and the Good Friday service will start at 7 o'clock. Is that okay with everybody? Because you're expected to be here. I don't want to burden you too hard, but Good Friday service. Of course, Good Friday, we remember the day day that Jesus was crucified on the cross. I also want to just tell you some other things that Christians do for Good Friday in case you have the day off and you're looking for something to do. Some Christians will fast this entire day. Fast. It kind of helps them remember the sacrifice Jesus made for them on the cross. Some have a procession through the streets carrying a cross. And, you know, I've always had kind of mixed feelings about those things, but I don't know. I have a pretty simple philosophy when it comes to you not liking the way I do something. I like the way I do things better than the way you don't do things. Right? So I kind of like the way some of those countries like carry a big old cross, you know, when I'm like not doing anything. That make sense to y'all? I don't know what it means. I don't want to get into it deeply. I just want to get into the fact that I'm not going to say anything about it, especially if I'm not being deliberate about the resurrection. I get this day off this year, and, you know, it could just be garage selling. Amen? So I'm certainly not going to complain that somebody else is acting out their faith by carrying a cross through the streets and into the church. Another way they do things is some of them have special church services throughout the day. This might be a communion service during the day around 3, which is about the time of day they suppose that Jesus died. So there's other things. We're going to have our evening service, and like I said, it will be at 7 o'clock. And then finally, of course, Resurrection Day, Sunday, April 8th, 2012. It is the oldest and most important Christian festival. And for us, it's the high point of the Christian year. So I was kidding about you having to be at our church those days. I'd really like for you to be at church those days. So. Right? Well, I can't make it back from work and get here. Can you make it to another church? I work Friday night. Can you make it to a church that's doing something at 3 in the afternoon? Be deliberate about Easter. Nothing more important in the history of mankind than Christ dying on a cross. What could trump that? What could be bigger than that? Jesus coming out of that tomb 3 days later. Amen? Any questions about what we're doing to make Resurrection Day more deliberate this year? Questions? 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 If not, we're going to release in about 5 minutes. I'm going to ask Judy to come up here. If you have any questions about any of this stuff, I'll be around. I'll be eating soup, but that's okay. And right now we're going to have Judy. She wants about 5 minutes of her time, so pay attention. Does it require turning on?
Okay. Whoa. one of the things that I've been talking about is Celebrate Recovery, and I mentioned it a little bit last Sunday, that we're going to start it on the 13th, Tuesday the 13th at 9:30 a.m. Many churches in this area have Celebrate Recovery, and we want to have it too. It's a great program, and I mentioned last week, a lot of times people think it's just strictly for people that are wanting to stop using drugs or alcohol, that sort of thing, and it isn't. That's not why it was developed. Rick Warren, he is in Saddleback Church. Many of you probably have heard of Rick Warren and Saddleback Church. He noticed that this was needed in the church. And so he is the one that originally started putting this together. And I want to read just a little bit of what he says about this. You've undoubtedly heard the expression, time heals all wounds. Unfortunately, it isn't true. As a pastor, I frequently talk with people who are still carrying hurts from 30 or 40 years ago. The truth is, time often makes things worse. Wounds that are left untended fester and spread infection throughout your entire body. Time only extends the pain if the problem isn't dealt with. Celebrate Recovery is a biblical and balanced program that can help you overcome your hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Based on the actual words of Jesus rather than psychological theory, this recovery program is more effective in helping people change than anything else I've seen or heard of. Over the years, I've witnessed how the Holy Spirit has used this program to transform literally thousands of lives at Saddleback Church and help people grow toward full Christ-like maturity. Perhaps you are familiar with the classic 12-step programs of AA and other groups. While undoubtedly many lives have been helped through the 12 steps, I've always been uncomfortable with that program's vagueness about the nature of God. the saving power of Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So I began an intense study of the scriptures to discover what God had to say about recovery. To my amazement, I found the principles of recovery in their logical order, given by Christ in his most famous message, the Sermon on the Mount. My study resulted in a 10-week series of messages called The Road to Recovery. During that series, my associate pastor, John Baker, developed the four participants' guides, which became the heart of a Celebrate Recovery program. As you work through these participants' guides, I trust that you will come to realize many benefits from this program. Most of all, however, my prayer for you is that through Celebrate Recovery, you will find deep peace and lasting freedom in Jesus Christ as you walk your own road to recovery. Dr. Rick Warren, Senior Pastor of Saddleback Church. One of the things that I've said is on the 13th, I'm going to do this even if I'm the only person here because I need it, you know. And as Doug was talking today, I was thinking of all the things that I can work on in my life through this program. So I want to thank you for the message this morning. It was excellent. And I would love to have you join me and see if we can change some things in our lives. I know I've got a lot of things that I really, really want to work through, and maybe I can do it this way. It's Tuesday mornings at 9:30, and it starts on the 13th. Okay.
Why don't you close us in prayer? Can you do that?
And
you're pray
brave.
For those in the storm path. Bless our food, and that the people upstairs don't send the kids down too soon. Okay. Go ahead. It's you.
Father, I just want to thank you so much for this service this morning. Just heard so many things that touched my heart. And the joy. I heard the joy most of all, the joy of knowing you in our lives. And the message of the resurrection and just how important that is. And how, you know, I've always taken that for granted. And I think many of us do. We don't really think about Easter and think about what he did for us on Easter. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. And as we spend some time together this morning, eating together, having our meal, I hope that we will spend time opening up to each other and sharing some of the things that are meaningful to us about our Lord. Please be with us as we end the service and go about our day. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would, go up and get your kids, and we'll be eating soon.